I'm American made, but like Chevrolet. My mama taught me wrong from right. I was born in the South. Sometimes I have a big mouth when I see something that I don't like. I gotta say it.
I'm Michelle Morin here on AM 740 KVOR. We're doing the After Hours podcast now. It's Sunday, July 16th, and Jason's here with me, and we are going to go over the topics that I just did not have time to cover in my live on-air two-hour broadcast on Sundays from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. I'm going to start out with some good news about Trump. Do you remember that during Obama's lame duck presidency, he pulled a fast one on America and agreed with Australia to bring over 1,250 asylum seekers, basically refugees that were in Australia. Australia didn't want them, so Obama said we would take them. Trump said no way, and then I guess things got heated between Australia and Trump, and haven't really heard much more about it. Well, it turns out in Australia, they have very strict entry rules for refugees. This is according to, I think it's Reuters, liberal leftist Reuters. They say that Australia's hardline immigration policy requires asylum seekers intercepted at sea trying to reach Australia to be sent for processing to camps at Manus and on Nauru. They're told they will never be settled in Australia. They have even offered the detainees up to $25,000 to voluntarily return to their home countries, and few of these people have taken them up on that. So Obama said we can take them, you know, when he's in a lame duck session. Well, interesting, we haven't taken them. And it turns out that U.S. officials halted their screening interviews of these people and departed the Pacific island of Nauru on Friday, 2 days ago, which was 2 weeks shy of the timetable that the United States had reached after, because we've reached our annual refugee intake cap. I guess we have to take in 50,000. So something about October 1st, I don't think we have to take any more in until October 1st. Can't believe I'm saying that. We have to take in, we don't. This is all leftist stuff that needs to be washed out. And Trump's trying to do that. And boy, his hands are being tied by the leftist activists. But I wanted you to know about that. And they're saying the deal looks more and more doubtful. So maybe those 1,250 migrants won't come over here to the United States.
I just want to make a note about something.
Make a note.
We get a whole bunch of guff because we want to have stringent borders and not take in immigrants and all of that. While Australia was doing the exact same thing. They were literally trying to ship them off everywhere else.
They were.
And they didn't get any. I haven't heard anything bad about Australia at all.
They're still good guys, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I thought about that one, too. And Reuters says they're hardline. So, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Is it because they didn't bring up a wall? Do we just not don't say anything about a wall? Just start
they don't
deporting
have a wall.
People?
They don't need a wall. They have a coast.
Well, they literally have an ocean. An ocean blocking everyone.
That's right. Huh. You're right. Maybe it's because we're the bad guys.
Yeah.
All right. So there are on to a slightly different topic. There's this bipartisan, that term, it's always a red flag. When you hear something's bipartisan, look out because it means leftist. This is from the Washington Times. There are 350 mayors in the U.S. Conference of Mayors. And they're, quote unquote, bipartisan. And they are, they're pretty ticked off because Trump has eliminated the Community Development Block Grant Program. And that would normally administer $3 billion to states for infrastructure and development projects. Apparently, HUD Secretary Ben Carson said that this program needs to prioritize its funding. Mm-hmm. Mr. Carson expects private sector collaboration to be part of his HUD agenda in an effort to replace the block grants, which is...
Makes sense.
It makes sense, because is the role of government redistributing all our funds to all the different states for their infrastructure? Didn't think so. So they're calling on Congress now, this U.S. Conference of Mayors, to reject Trump's plan, and they're urging that the budget increase to $3.3 billion. Brian Barnett is the Republican mayor of Rolling Hills, Michigan. He says, there's probably no issue I'm familiar with that has such strong bipartisan support. Big cities, small cities, we all rely on this very unique tool. According to the Washington Times, thousands of cities and communities across the nation are served through CDBG funds, which are allocated for initiatives ranging from affordable housing to after-school programs to keep kids off the streets.
Oh, of course.
Mr. Trump's proposed 2018 budget would cut about $6 billion, which is 13% of HUD's funding, in an effort to shift funds from domestic programs and into defense spending. I think that's I think that's a very wise thing to do. The mayor said that the CDBG grants allow flexibility for local officials to provide money to a number of projects. That's always a...
Flexibility, yeah, is kind of suspicious to me.
Flexibility, projects, a system that has been in place since 1974. Don't take our money. Such projects include small business initiatives, elderly care, and homes for those with mental disabilities. Notice how it goes into, you know, hear the violin playing.
Yeah. Where are the kids going to start dying? That's what I'm waiting for.
Right. One of the mayors of Pembroke Pines, Florida, he says, we take seniors to doctor appointments and dentist appointments. How do we tell them we're not going to be able to do that anymore? My question is, I always want to ask this question. Is it the role of government to take seniors to doctor appointments and dentist appointments? Is it the role of government to provide after-school activities for kids? Is it the role of government to for elderly care and homes for those with mental disabilities? And when you think about what Ben Carson is proposing, he wants private sector collaboration to be part of this, not federal funding. This is good. And you know what? These 350 mayors, they're so used to this money coming in. They are griping because it's going to make them look bad. But you know what? This is how we get things done. This is how we take government's, big government's hand out of local government, right? Mm-hmm. Get the federal fingers out of local government and force local government to start addressing our needs and start to look at private sector collaboration, exactly what Ben Carson is suggesting.
And on top of all that, my question is, he says that we can't because we're not being paid. Last time I checked, it didn't take money to be a volunteer and
Great.
Say, you know what, I want to do a greater good. I want to take care of the seniors in our community.
You know, and this is the whole problem with socialism, communism, all the isms that aren't capitalism. You start disincentivizing donations, charity, volunteer work, because instead of you and me reaching, you know, giving of ourselves, we expect...
Oh, we need to be paid.
...the government to do it, and yeah, someone needs to get paid to do it.
Yeah, someone has to be paid to do something,
yes,
that's decent and good.
So, this is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm all for this. And these 350 mayors, they need to start dealing with their own budgets and making it happen.
Yep.
So, I'm impressed. And here's some more good news coming out of Trump. He's considering granting the DHS the authority to expand the class of aliens that can be deported on an expedited basis. The Washington Post on Friday says that it got a copy of a 13-page draft memo from DHS. It's pretty simple. It proposes foregoing the immigration court process, which is backlogged, for illegal immigrants who can't prove that they've been in the U.S. for more than 90 days. That's it. Congress does not have to be part of this. This is a Trump thing, DHS thing. The DHS spokeswoman, Joanne F. Talbot, spoke, and she said she told the Post that, quote, the potential changes would allow DHS to more efficiently use resources to remove persons who have been illegally present for relatively brief periods of time while still observing due process requirements, unquote. It reduces the backlog in the immigration courts. It does not apply to unaccompanied minors, and it still allows for credible fear, claims of credible fear of persecution or torture. An asylum officer still makes a determination if the fear is credible and then refers the immigrant to an immigration judge. So,
I'm not up on my immigration and illegal immigration.
Okay.
If you're here for less than 90 days, you can just chill out and do whatever you want.
I'm not up on it either, Jason.
Because that just stuck out to me. If you're here for longer than 90 days, we have to let you stay. What? What? So if I'm a murderer and as long as I'm here for 91 days, it's okay.
But you caught that one.
What?
That's a good question, Jason. I can always count on my millennial minority producer to find the flaws in logic in these things. That's why one of the reasons I have him here. All right. I found an article that says that it's from the Wall Street Journal. It's talking about how the White House has got some really mixed up messaging. The title is White House Plans Messaging Campaign to Refocus Attention on Trump's Agenda. And I started thinking about that. And I guess the messaging is a bit in a shambles because Trump himself does bounce around all over the place. He's quite unpredictable. And he says whatever he wants on Twitter. No one seems to be able to restrain him on Twitter. And that's just the way it is. But apparently, Reince Priebus came up with this grand idea of doing a theme per week.
Is he a school teacher?
Some kind of theme per week. Like make, what was the first one? Made in America campaign. The Made in America campaign? I'm not there. My theme is get the terrorists out, don't let them in, repeal Obamacare, lower our taxes, and now it's term limits. I'm adding that to it. Just focus on those things?
And he only wants to spend 1 week on these things?
Yeah.
Are they going to rotate? Like every four weeks we would do it again?
I wasn't real clear on that. Even Newt Gingrich is saying how the communications is in a conundrum. Newt said, Coca-Cola believes that after 130 years, consumers still need to hear about Coke 7 days a week to be reminded to buy it. He says, brute repetition is the only way to break through, and it's hard to know right now what the White House is supposed to be selling.
Well,
I'm not sure why it's hard to know. We elected Trump and the Republican Congress and Senate with very clear mandates.
Well, we elected them with mandates. They're not doing... I mean, Trump is trying.
He is.
But no one else is really trying. I mean, how long are they going to try to do health care?
The health care. We talked about it in my show. If you missed my live on-air show, the July 16th show, in the last hour we talked about the GOP Senate plan. And we have found a study from the Manhattan Institute that completely debunks the lie that people will die if Obamacare is repealed. It's great. So I'm not going to go through it now, but I do recommend my listeners go to the Manhattan Institute and look up, will repealing Obamacare kill people? It's so worth knowing the talking points because I know people, well, many conservatives who are confused about this. They keep hearing about pre-existing conditions and they keep hearing people are going to die and they keep hearing millions of people are going to lose their insurance coverage, and it's all scary, fear-mongering stuff. And no, the light is at the end of the tunnel if we repeal. We just keep going into the darkness if we don't repeal it, and it's looking like we're not going to repeal it. But you can listen to my on-air podcast for that. Kind of an interesting study about Twitter. There was a Twitter war during the election, if you recall. And there's a group called from the University of Edinburgh. They researched the 50 most viral election tweets for each of the final 68 days of the 26th presidential campaign. That would be September 1st through November 8th. They divided the tweets into pro-Clinton and pro-Trump categories, and then they analyzed it from there. This research says that two-thirds of the 3,450 viral tweets were retweeted 26 million times, and nearly two-thirds of those viral tweets either attacked Clinton or supported Trump, and the other third either supported Clinton or attacked Trump.
Really?
Yep. And there were two, they found the two most viral tweets. The most retweeted Trump attack tweet came from novelist Stephen King.
Okay.
He tweeted this. My newest horror story, once upon a time, there was a man named Donald Trump and he ran for president. Some people wanted him to win. That was the most retweeted Trump attack tweet. Now,
that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
I could think of 10 other ones that seem better than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The most retweeted tweet supporting Clinton came from talk host Jerry Springer, where he said, Hillary Clinton belongs in the White House, Donald Trump belongs on my show. Now,
wait a minute, so they're both negative towards Trump.
They are.
Okay.
So the writers of this, I think, had a really hard time with the outcome of their research. So those are the only tweets that they highlighted in the whole article. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they like the numbers. But it's funny. They said most of the viral tweets came from the candidates themselves. Clinton more often criticized Trump than she praised herself. It says Clinton sent 331 positive tweets about herself and 363 that attacked Trump. Trump boasted about himself 446 times and slammed Clinton 246 times. So, I don't think the study was happy that Hillary came out behind in the Twitter battle. But they're saying that Trump definitely won the Twitter war in the election. So, can't deny the facts, can you?
No.
I guess if you're going to do the research, you better publish the results.
Yeah. I mean, I like that study. I hate the fact that it reinforces that he should tweet more.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I mean, that's what the left wants.
Yeah.
They like it when he tweets because they can always use it against him.
And that's the problem.
Yes, that is a problem.
That is the problem. I love that he's honest, but it's also a bad thing that he's honest.
I know.
He needs someone to filter it.
He does.
And just say it in a good way, because he has great ideas that sound terrible.
He needs to write the tweet before he clicks the blue button, hand it to Melania or somebody, and say, does this sound okay?
Just translate this into something that's better.
Yes. But I don't think he does that.
No.
Okay, we're going to go over to Oregon. Let's see. Jason and I were talking about Oregon before we started the podcast, and it seems like a lot of bad things keep coming out of Oregon.
Even though I fantasized about going there when I was younger, like, oh, Oregon, it looks so cool.
It is cool.
It looks amazing. It looks like a beautiful state.
I would love to go there,
except for I don't want to talk to anyone there.
No. Their straight state legislature passed a bill last week that requires insurance companies offering plans in Oregon to cover abortions and other reproductive services at no cost to the patient, regardless of income, citizenship status, or gender identity.
Wait, citizenship?
Yep.
So an illegal alien could go to...
Yep. Yep. Taxpayers pay for it.
What?
Yep. And the Democratic governor's name is Kate Brown. She's already tweeted her support with an enthusiastic yes, yes, yes. It gets worse. This is from Washington Examiner. The Oregon bill is unique in that patients would have access to the abortion procedure, for virtually any reason at any time, including sex, selective, and late-term abortions.
Wouldn't that be against the law?
Hmm.
Like federal law? Couldn't the federal funds not support that?
I would hope so.
I hope someone decides to fight that in federal court. Like, we're not paying for that.
That's just, it's despicable. Okay, so that's Oregon. And then Jason reminded me that Oregon passed a law that driver's licenses could be gender neutral.
Gender neutral. So you can, instead of having an F for female or an M for male, you can have an X for gender neutral.
Oh, wow. Wow. There was something else we talked about too, Jason. What in the world was it? There was something in
Oregon. It was the Mexican restaurant. The white.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Two white women decided, hey, we're going to open a Mexican restaurant and serve burritos.
Yep. And they drove up for. They went to Mexico.
Yeah, and they found recipes and they made really great burritos, as far as everyone knew.
Yep.
Except for the part that they're white and they're trying to steal Mexican heritage.
Mexican, yeah. So they shut down their little. Their little business.
Yeah, you're not allowed to have any. What's a white restaurant that you're allowed to open?
Well,
if you're a white person,
it keeps going and it keeps getting worse. This is why we were talking about it. I have an article here, dated July 4th, 2017. It's from HeatStreet.com. A Hawaii-themed restaurant owner in Oregon was forced to close down following accusations of cultural appropriation.
Because. What race were they? Does it say?
Locals of Polynesian ancestry and the Oregon State University Asian and Pacific Cultural Center criticized his newly opened venue, pointing out how he used a Hawaiian name, displayed traditional iconography in a cartoonish way, and handed out Hawaiian leis to customers.
So he opened a Hawaiian restaurant.
He opened a Hawaiian restaurant.
That's
and it offended.
But I mean, is he a white person? Because I assume he's white.
It doesn't say. You could certainly make that assumption.
I would make that assumption just based on I almost guarantee you the way it works is that if he was a minority of any other race, if he was a Mexican or a black person, they would not say a word.
No.
If you wanted to open up a Hawaiian restaurant as a Mexican person, they'd be like, "Oh yeah, you're okay."
I think you're probably right. Hey, wait a minute.
I'm Hawaiian.
You're Hawaiian.
And I'm not. I'm more offended that they shut it down because I bet you they don't have Hawaiian restaurants there at all.
Well, now they don't.
Yeah, they shut down the one they had. How are you going to get Hawaiian food?
If you ask me, here's what's worse. The owner, his name is Davidson. He said, I unintentionally made a mistake and I'm very sorry. He apologized on Facebook.
He did not make a mistake.
He apologized on Facebook, pledging to remove the culturally insensitive decorations from the restaurant. He also announced that the venue will be reopened, but only as a bar, an extension of another place in the building he owns.
That is ridiculous. They forced this poor man to apologize for opening a restaurant. I still want to know, what's an appropriate white restaurant?
I don't know. I know.
I mean,
I'm offended about Flying W Ranch because they're cowboys, and I like riding horses, and I like wearing cowboy hats, and I think they're being culturally inappropriate.
Well, you better be careful around those horses. They're racist from what I've heard.
And I'm kidding. I love the Flying W Ranch and the Wranglers and the whole – I don't even know if it's been rebuilt yet. I think they're still in process, but that was a complete joke.
That is – it's going to get to the point where you have to go through a registration process. You want to open what kind of a restaurant? A Hawaiian restaurant? Are you Hawaiian? Better make sure you check that off before you open your restaurant.
Well, Oregon's not going to get me patronizing them anytime soon.
It's so upsetting because it looks beautiful, but I'll never go there.
I know. And that's what we know about. So we've listed four leftist infractions from Oregon tonight.
Oregon's just terrible.
Yeah. Did you know that Mark Zuckerberg... He is the Facebook guy. Looks like he's looking at running for president.
Why? Because this is what's upsetting to me. Trump runs and he wins. So not anybody feels like they can go.
Yeah.
Because I heard also The Rock is thinking about running for president.
Oh, yeah. Kid Rock.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
What qualifies you in any... I mean, I understand Donald Trump didn't have very many qualifications, but...
This whole anybody can run for president thing has gone a little too far. Yeah, they're speculating that Zuckerberg is running, considering a run. This is from Breitbart. There are five indicators. Number one, Zuckerberg's friends say he plans to run for office in 24. Number two, he's worked closely with Obama and his former administration. Number three, Zuckerberg's F8 conference keynote held many political overtones. Number four, a PAC is urging Zuckerberg to run and taking donations. And number five, Zuckerberg is out right now on an all-American tour. He is visiting all 50 states in the U.S., and in each state, he's visiting locals, posing in photo ops, and blatantly designing the photo ops to make him look like a normal, down-to-earth guy. Isn't that presidential?
That's very presidential. They have a PAC taking donations for his potential presidential run?
Yeah, it's called Disrupt for America. It's directly calling for Mark Zuckerberg to run for president. It's taking donations to convince the CEO to do just that.
What is so
Disrupt for America. The PAC's website reads, Disrupt for America is a progressive advocacy group focused on pragmatic grassroots activism with an emphasis on social media, organized assembly, and open discourse and debate. The diversity and sheer scale of the grassroots resistance against Donald Trump's presidency has been unprecedented and highlights a significant opportunity. But we are not going to win by resisting without a clear purpose and a plan.
That just reeks of
The Facebook guy.
The billionaire. He needs donations.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know. So, yeah. And then one more interesting note. I had not heard of this. Pope Francis has a couple of aides who are attacking Steve Bannon. Remember, Steve Bannon is, Reince Priebus is chief of staff for Trump. Steve Bannon is like second chief of staff. Yeah. They're both
wasn't he? I think he got kicked out.
We'll have to look into that.
Yeah, we're going to look into that.
I think they're kind of equal. But two of Pope Francis' closest aides, they wrote an article in, it's in a periodical called La Civiltà. Okay, it's an Italian name, and I think it means La Civiltà Cattolica. And sorry for botching that. But basically, they are denouncing conservative American Christians. And they're kind of lumping Steve Bannon and conservative American Christians into a bucket and saying that it's fundamentalist with an apocalyptic view of geopolitics. These two guys, one of them is Jesuit Father Antonio Spadaro. He slams conservative Christians in the U.S. as ignorant, theocratic, Manichean, warmongering fanatics.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And he suggests that Bannon is part of a dangerous fringe group of U.S. Christians who seek to bring about a theocratic Christian state, wiping away America's healthy secularism. It sounds like satire, but it's... I found the article.
The people from the Vatican, which is its own state.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what they're saying.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, they're trying to align Bannon with some pastor named... Roussos John Rushdoony. Apparently, they think this guy Rushdoony influenced Bannon's quote-unquote theopolitical vision of Christian fundamentalism. Now, I need to tell you something. I've met Steve Bannon. He didn't strike me that way at all. And when I've seen him write, when I've seen him speak, he didn't strike me that way at all. I don't always agree with him. Sometimes I do agree with him. But I don't smell any of this stuff coming up. This is almost like fake news from the Vatican.
Yeah.
Well, apparently this Rushdoony guy, he advocates for the application of quote-unquote strict biblical law, including execution for adultery, blasphemy, homosexuality, witchcraft, and other sins. That's what this Spadaro is saying about Steve Bannon. That Steve Bannon aligns with this guy, and that the rest of us fundamental Christians do, too.
Okay.
Anyone who wants to say that we Christians want a theocracy, they're so deliberately misguided. I have heard that over and over and over again to the point I will explode. If anyone who says that, even the Vatican, and talk about wanting to control people, don't even get me going. Don't let me get me going here. But I have had libertarians accuse, because I'm a Christian, accuse me of wanting a theocracy. No, go back to the founders. 98% of the founders did identify with Judeo-Christian faith values, and not a single one of them advocated for a theocracy. They built the Constitution and our founding documents upon Judeo-Christian morals and values. That is not a theocracy, as you have over in Iran. It is two completely different sets of governments. In our government, all religions are free to worship. And that would not be a theocracy. So anyway, some weird stuff coming out of the Vatican.
Yeah.
Against America, Christians, and Steve Bannon.
Yeah.
I'm not sure where it came from, but I just thought, you know, big media is probably not going to tell you. So, one more article I want to highlight tonight. Have you heard of a guy named Elon Musk?
Yes.
You have?
The electric car guy, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. You knew more than I did going into this. Okay. Wall Street Journal article here. This Elon Musk, he is the he's the chief executive car maker of electric car maker Tesla and rocket maker Space Exploration Technologies Corporation. He is warning U.S. governors that the world needs to be concerned about the potential dangers from the rise of artificial intelligence.
Okay.
And called for the creation of a regulatory body to guide development of the powerful technology.
He wants a governmental body over something that doesn't even exist yet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You know what it reminds me? Okay, I'll tell you what it reminds me of in a minute here. He said to these governors, he spoke Saturday at the National Governors Association meeting in Rhode Island. He said that an artificial intelligence could spark a war. And it is the biggest risk that we face as a civilization.
Did he watch the movie Terminator a lot? That's the only thing I could think of. He thinks Skynet's a real thing. He thinks that thing is real.
He suggested to the governors that a regulatory agency needs to be formed to begin gaining insight into fast-moving artificial intelligence development, followed by putting regulations into place. He says, right now, the government doesn't even have insight. Once there is awareness, people will be extremely afraid, as they should be. So here's my question. Remember the horse and buggy days?
Mm-hmm.
Remember when, I guess, Henry Ford created the first car?
Well, I mean, not specifically. I wasn't there,
yes. That's kind of like their version of artificial intelligence, right?
Yeah.
What if we created a regulatory body because creating the car could have sparked a war? It's the biggest risk that we face as a civilization. And you know that in the horse and buggy days when the car was being built, you know that people were talking about how, oh, gosh, this is going to put us out of work. This is going to kill the economy. This is going to start wars. If the car is developed, who knows what can be developed after that, right?
Oh, yes.
You know, where would we be if we created a regulatory body to prevent cars from being built and we're still driving horses and buggies? Oh, no, we can't have that technology. No.
He wants to do it before it's even, we don't even have that yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So he wants to preempt it. He's like, oh, it's coming. The end of the world is coming. We better make sure.
I know. Isn't this just surreal?
I can't.
It's, thought that was really interesting.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I believe in his Tesla cars, they have automated driving technology, the cars that drive themselves.
I think so.
Wouldn't that be considered artificial intelligence?
Yeah.
So he wants to make a okay.
I actually believe we do have artificial intelligence. In the IT world, there is.
Not in the way he's worried.
I know.
if we don't have a free-thinking artificial intelligence.
Well, it would have been interesting to hear some more elaboration on what he's afraid of. I mean, war.
He's afraid Skynet's coming. We have Skynet.
Explain Skynet to my listeners.
For anyone who doesn't know, if you've never seen the Terminator movies, mm-hmm. in the movies, the government develops a technology called Skynet, which is, they use it, it's artificial intelligence that can fly planes, it controls our missile system.
Okay.
And it takes out the people from the equation, so people mm-hmm. can't make mistakes. They think, okay, a computer can do this better than a human can. The problem was it became super smart and super self-aware.
To where robots run the world.
Yeah, it was afraid that humans were going to take it offline, so it decided to kill all the humans.
Yeah.
And so
there you go.
He's afraid of Skynet.
You can see where he's going with it. That's exactly where he's going.
He watched Terminator one night and he's like, oh, this is real. We better get on
this. So we have to have a regulatory body to
get ready for when that happens.
Yes.
Not even to regulate what's going to happen, because we don't even have it yet. We're not at that point.
On my on-air show tonight, I was talking about how I look at these people who come into power and influence and with their utopian visions. And I was saying, these are just ordinary people who, you know, they breathe the same way I do. They, you know, they eat, they put their pants on one leg at a time like I do. And suddenly they have utopian visions that they can't not stop. They have to do something. And this is another case of that. He's like,
this is the opposite. Afraid of the bad things happening. Yeah. He wants to make a commission to stop everything before it happens.
And he wants to control us with a regulatory body. So if you and I, Jason, like go off and create this AI thing where, you know,
if I decide to one day make a car company and have an AI driven car, he'd make sure that I didn't do that.
Exactly.
Only his company can do that because he knows about the dangers.
So just remember, horse and buggy, you know, this is the equivalent of, no, we can't have cars. We need a regulatory body because cars could start wars.
We need to stop the cars from coming.
Horse and buggies rule.
Exactly. They're safe. We know what they look like.
So, well, that's all for tonight's Michelle Morin After Hours podcast. And I hope you enjoyed tonight's podcast. And I hope that you will tune in each Sunday here on AM 740 KVOR from 9 to 11 p.m. And I will be here to tell you what big media won't each and every week. Have a wonderful week, and I will talk to you soon.